Okay, members, we're going to call this meeting to order. The first order of business is going to be to approve the minutes of our prior meetings. And the first set of minutes, we've got two of them here. Actually, we'll take both of them. If you want to separate. We'll take both minutes together from the March 29th meeting and the March 30th meeting. And I understand, Representative Atkins, you have read those thoroughly and approved them.
I do, Your Honor. I may not like them, but I do.
Your Honor, you've been in court too much, Your Honor.
Thank you, Representative Atkins. As far as members, is there any discussion on the minutes? In hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye to approve the minutes.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The motion prevails and the minutes are approved.
This is the late everything amendment.
Okay, our first order of business is going to be House File 1344. Representative Gunther, this is your bill, and what is your motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we pass House File 1344 and take it to, I think, the floor, isn't it?
To your committee.
My committee first, huh? Great place to go. Mr. Chairman, I move House File 1344 be passed and move to Jobs and Economic Development Opportunity Policy and Finance Committee.
So moved. And Representative Gunther, please present your bill.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, this bill is... evolved many different ways in the last 5 or 6 weeks, and I think what we have now is an agreement between all the parties involved. All the environmentalists are accepting this, the power producers are accepting this, Department of Commerce, and I'd say they all like it, but they all think it works for them. So I think the seabed people are certainly not saying that they aren't getting everything they wanted, but they're very satisfied with it. So I think with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn over the parts of it that you want to know about to Mr. Bull, and he can go as far as you'd like.
Representative Gunther, do you want to move the DE1 amendment first to get the bill in the shape that you want?
Certainly do. I move the DE1 amendment to pass this as a delete all amendment that puts it in the way we want to have it.
Okay.
And appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Gunther. Mr. Bull, please state your name for the tape and tell us who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Mike Bull from the Department of Commerce. And I wanted to quickly go through the bill for you, but before I start, I wanted to build on what Representative Gunther has stated, that we've worked with for the Chamber of Commerce, with the CAPEX utilities, which are, as you know, is a coalition of utilities, but behind them are essentially all the utilities in the state, the municipals and cooperatives, as well as all the investor owns. We've worked with Wind on the Wires, the Isaac Walton League. We've worked with community-based energy advocates, George Crocker, Dan Jewell. And the language that you have before you has been signed off on by those parties. It contains bills that many of you have introduced. Chairman Westrom has a lot of the provisions in this bill. Dean Simpson, Representative Simpson does. Representative Gunther's bill. Representative Sheldon Johnson has a provision in here. So this is a broad, a comprehensive bill, and supported by a broad scope of folks. And just to go quickly through, Article 1 deals with transmission issues. It contains many of the provisions from the CAPEX initial bill. I think that was Representative Gunther's. But we've worked hard on that language, both on the transmission cost recovery piece with the Chamber of Commerce to ensure that there are least cost mechanisms to protect consumers in that provision, but also that with regard to the formation of transmission companies in and out itself, which are companies that own and operate transmission facilities, that there are provisions in there to protect Minnesota ratepayers and jurisdiction of the commission. Article 2 is the seabed article, an acronym which I've now come to not like that much. Overuse. I like the term community-based energy development better. We've worked really hard on this language. The Department of Commerce had an initial proposal. The seabed activists had a proposal of their own. We worked closely together before we got to the legislature on it. And this language gets us even closer. We wanted to make sure that community-based energy projects are considered and are in the game when utilities go to add new resources. And this does that. We worked with the folks to get language to make sure that the rate that we come up with is a non-tariff rate, a non-subsidized rate, but that it's language that works for the community-based energy folks and works for the utilities and the chamber as well. Article 3 is another bill of Representative Gunther's that has passed out of government operations on its own. It's a bill to transfer the siting and routing authority of the Environmental Quality Board and merge that into the certificate of need decision making that it currently exists at the Public Utilities Commission. Under our current process, the commission makes determinations of need and the EQB makes determinations of siting and routing, and no single decision maker sees the full scope from regional energy needs to landowner impacts. And this would, without changing any of the process for decision making, it would have the commission be the single decision maker on both need and siting. And this passed out of Kathy Tinglestad's committee without a negative vote, and no one testified against it there. Article 4 is a miscellaneous set of provisions. It contains the language that we've developed in response to the legislative auditor's audit of our conservation improvement plan program. It contains language with regard to that the commission asked for with regard to certificate of need fees, and it also contains the language that Senator Sheldon Johnson has introduced with regard to electronic filing at the Public Utilities Commission to speed up the development of the infrastructure and hardware and software that's necessary for filing by electronic means rather than paper means at the Public Utilities Commission, and we've all signed off on that language as well. I'm sorry about downgrading you to Senator. But Mr. Chair, that's a quick overview of the bill, and there everyone from the coalition, the folks that we've worked with, there are representatives here to answer questions if you have any. Other than that, I think I'll just shut up. Oh, yes. Mr. Chair, one thing that was especially important to Chairman Westrum was the landowner payments. We worked pretty diligently amongst this group to figure out the best way to handle the landowner payments issues, and we couldn't come up with the silver bullet, the best way to do that. And so Chairman Westrum agreed to have an interim study done, a task force to set up with farmers and landowners and utilities to work through some of those issues and come back next session with specific recommendations on how to move that issue forward. So that's in the bill as well.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ball. And Representative Gunther, as far as just checking here now on this DE1 amendment here, we haven't adopted it yet, but we noticed that you're a co-author on here. And do you know, will Westrum, Representative Westrum, accept this as a friendly amendment, or do you accept this as a friendly amendment then to the bill?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I do, and I'm sure Chairman Westrum does also. He was very instrumental in engineering it.
Okay. And with that, we will, Representative Erickson, you have a question?
Thank you, Chair Westerberg. And I don't know if this is for Mr. Bohl or for Representative Gunther, but on page 3 of the delete all, if there's a transmission assets transfer, why is the language of reviewal by the Public Utilities Commission permissive? Why wouldn't they be required to review the request?
Mr. Bohl.
Mr. Chair.
I'm on line 16, by the way. I'm sorry. Page 2, line 16. Oh, and also line 17, where it's permissive in initiate other proceedings. Why are we using permissive language there?
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, what we were trying to do there is that initially the language said that the commission shall review it in the context of a general rate case. The utilities came back and said there may be other ways to handle the same kind of thing, so we've tried to separate that so that they either may review it in the context of a general rate case or may initiate other proceedings to handle the pulling out of those assets and protecting ratepayers.
Okay, thank you. That clarifies and that's good with me.
Any other questions, members?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Or Representative Erickson.
Page 11 for Mr. Bohl, line 26. This is in regard to the standard reliability criteria. Who's going to make the determination that it can be safely integrated into and operated within the utility's grid without causing any adverse or unsafe consequences? Who does that determination?
Mr. Bohl.
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, that will be left with the utility to decide. It's essentially their system and their responsibility to operate it safely and reliably.
Thank you.
Any other questions, members? Okay, and seeing none, do you have another testifier here?
I don't think I see any need to have one. I think the people here that support the bill are right around here, and they're, I also want to mention the Energy Czar also appreciates this bill.
Okay. There he is. Okay, well then, at this
I will renew my motion to have House File 1344 as amended.
Is there any opposition?
There's an amendment here.
Oh, we have some amendments too, Representative Gunther.
Yeah, that's right.
Is
page 13? I'm going to ask for opposition first. Line 5. Sure, it has to be changed to shall.
Representative Hansen, what was your question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I had a question on page 12. I apologize. I was outside of the the door.
Representative Hansen.
Page 12, line 8, on the 8 and 9, the 2.7 cents. I'm just wondering if that's the correct language, the less than or equal to, if that language is the intent or should it be something like allow for up to 2.7.
Mr. Bohl.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, when we were talking with the working this language out with with George Crocker and Dan Duell and the other community-based energy advocates, they were referring to the 2.7 cents as a ceiling that they were looking for. So this is how we drafted it, and I think that they're good with that language, but George Crocker is here to can answer that question.
Please state your name for the tape and tell us who you represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. My name is George Crocker. I'm the Executive Director of the North American Water Office, and I've been working closely with the seabed portion of this bill as it's evolved. And I really appreciate the question, Representative. The intent, as Mike Bohl said, is to establish a ceiling. It would be possible to read the language as it's currently written and allow for a proceeding in front of the Public Utilities Commission to come in with something less than 2.7 cents. So there's that ambiguity. that is not our intent. Our intent is not to have that ambiguity. I think if the language did read, and we would hope to take care of this in front of Representative Gunther's committee or however, with agreement from the parties, to use language such as you suggested, allow for a rate up to 2.7 cents, and that clearly was our intent in the course of the discussion with the other parties.
Representative Hanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If the author could work with you, I don't want to try to move an amendment without having other people talking about it, but if you could work on that particular portion by the time it gets to your committee, that would be appreciated.
We'll certainly do that. Thank you.
Okay, members, any other questions? Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Chair Westerberg. Mr. Bowl or Representative Gunther, on page 10, line 26, why are we in law asking that a tariff be established to optimize and to facilitate widespread development? Why are we putting that kind of adjective into law?
Representative Gunther.
Representative Erickson, by having wind spread out throughout the state, if we have poor winds in one area, we'll have better winds in the other. And I think that's got something to do with widespread, at least as it was described to me.
Well, Mr. Chair and Representative Gunther, it says throughout Minnesota.
Throughout Minnesota.
So why do we need widespread? If we're going to facilitate the development of community-based wind energy projects throughout Minnesota, why do we need widespread development?
Representative Gunther?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Erickson, you certainly can take it out of there. I didn't draft the thing.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'll move that we delete widespread, if that's okay with the author. Maybe he would accept that as a friendly amendment.
Mr. Before I do that, I'd like to ask Mr. Iliff, what do you... You did the lot of the drafting.
Mr. Eloff.
Eloff?
I don't think taking out widespread will change the language.
Okay.
I consider that a very friendly amendment.
Thank you, Representative Gunther.
The author accepts the friendly amendment by Representative Erickson to remove the word widespread from line 26 on page 10. Any other questions, ma'am?
Mr. Chair, let the record reflect that Representative Erickson reads these bills very carefully.
Well, I actually don't like the bill.
Okay, are there any other questions, members? If not, we'll open it up. Is there any opposition? Anyone from the audience would like to speak in favor of the bill as we have it in its current shape or against the bill in its present form? If not, we'll move on to the next... anybody in the audience wants to speak for or against the bill?
I have a question.
Representative Peterson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and to Mr. Bowler, Mr. Gunther. Page 18, starting on line 7, the membership of the Landowner Payments Working Group. You have a list of the working group consisting up to 12 members. Including, and then we list a bunch of members, and I'm wondering, is there a need to make it clear that those who are in the area where a power line may or may not go, do you think it satisfies that desire for those groups to be involved on line 14 with an interest and expertise in landowner rights and the market value of rural property? Because if you count them up just quickly, you get to 6 to 7, and it says 12. I'm just wondering, do we need to make it explicit, or does that say that area farmers are going to be able to participate in the working group?
Mr. Ball, or?
Mr. Chair, a couple thoughts. I think it would be fine to be more specific. The other thing to know is that the Electric Energy Task Force will be the convening body, will name members of this, and can actually work to make the charge of the landowner group even more specific and
okay.
if need be.
Okay, I just was, Mr. Chair, I was just counting quick. I think it's 12, so
okay.
That's it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gunther.
Representative Peterson, I believe you're on that now.
liquor.
Oh, yeah, I am on it. Yes, I'm on it. Yes, I just want to make sure they get to 12.
Okay. I think also that Electric Energy Task Force welcomes regular citizens to come with their input at any time.
Right. Just thanks.
Okay. Any further questions or comments, members? Okay, then we'll move on to the A20 amendment. Is this your amendment, Representative Gunther?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, do you want to explain the A20 amendment to us?
Mr. Bull would be delighted to.
Mr. Bull.
Mr. Chair, I think this is Chairman Westrum's amendment. The first part of it deletes a should that should have been a shall. The second one, page 14, delete line 17 to 22. There is language that Representative Westrum has added in another place in this in that article that would take the place of this language. Is that right, Mr. Ely?
We'll recognize our House counsel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Mr. Bull is correct. The language on the previous page 13, lines 21 through 28, address the same issue as the language to be deleted. The language to be deleted was left over from an earlier draft.
Any questions, members, or comments on the A20 amendment? We're thinking.
Okay.
Okay. And Representative Gunther, since this is your amendment, would you be willing to accept this as a friendly amendment?
Sure.
Okay. Good idea. Representative Gunther accepts that as a friendly amendment, the A20 amendment. The A17 is the next amendment. Who has the A17 amendment? Eerd was going to take this one. Maybe we'll have to take this next.
Representative Beard was going to have that amendment. He's not here, so we'll have.
We have somebody to explain the A17 amendment to us?
Right here.
So I'll move the A17 amendment before us, and please state your name for the tape and tell us who you represent, and then explain the A17 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Eric Swanson on behalf of Lake Benton Power Partners. We own one of the first two 100-megawatt wind farms that was put in as a result of the original Prairie Island mandate. And the A17 amendment is a clarifying amendment. We've discussed it with all of the parties that were parties to the larger amendment that you have in front of you and the regulatory agencies. I'm not aware of any concerns with the amendment. What we're trying to do is clarify two things. When the legislature has periodically gone in and revisited property taxes associated with wind facilities, there have been a couple different changes that have increased the tax burden to owners of large wind energy facilities. And the legislature has also allowed for a pass-through then of those costs since the projects went in with fixed price contracts. And the second time that a change was made to these taxes, there was a shift from property taxes to production taxes, but we neglected to go back and on the pass-through language change to reflect that production taxes can now receive the same pass-through. So the intent here, the clarifications are twofold. One, since property taxes are no longer paid by these facilities. Rather, they pay production taxes to make it clear that production taxes can pass through. And second, the concern throughout on this has been to make sure that, there is no double recovery allowed from wind energy facility owners and operators. So we've added language here just clarifying that the commission, if it looks at a proposal to amend the contract, should indeed ensure that recovery hasn't already been received from the owner of the wind energy facility for those taxes. So I think these are just clarifying amendments, and I'm not aware of anyone with concerns regarding it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Swanson. And we understand that Representative Chairman Prinke of the Tax Committee has not requested to see this.
Correct. We spoke directly with Chair Prinke to make sure that, there was nothing in this, since it is a utility bill, but since it mentioned the word taxes, we just wanted to make sure he was aware of it and that there was no need to, that this would take the bill over to taxes, and we were told it would not.
Thank you. Any questions, members? Sure. Representative Erickson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Iliff, would you just help me out on what Section 272.029 says, because that's where the production tax apparently is spelled out, and that must be why it doesn't have to go to Representative Krinke's committee. It must not be a change.
Mr. Luff.
Well, I think, as Mr. Swanson just said, it is a change, but it's not a change that Representative Prinke wants to see after having it explained to him. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Erickson, there is no change to the tax statute at all.
That's fine. Okay. That's what I needed to know.
Okay. Any other questions, members? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A17 amendment, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same side. The amendment passes. A18, members.
Yep.
Okay, this is
Chair Westrum.
There he is. Thank you. Representative Simpson, this is your amendment.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. The A18, basically what it consists of is a study for the biodiesel fuel for home heating. It consists of the reliability administrator in the Department of Commerce is instructed to perform a comprehensive technical and economic analysis of benefits of using biodiesel fuel or blends as a home heating fuel, and reporting back by March 15, 2007, the administrator is required to report the results of the study and analysis to the appropriate legislative commission. And that's basically the two parts of it.
Okay, members, any questions on the amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Chair Westerberg. So what would be the cost? It notes that from the money available to the Commissioner of Commerce for purposes of studies and technical assistance by the reliability administrator. So is there a lot of money sitting in that fund, or are we anticipating? Can anybody answer that?
Representative Simpson.
As I understand, there was a number of $25,000 thrown out, but I can't find it in the bill. So I don't know if that's factual or not.
Can you help us, Mr. Ewell?
We have a reliability administrator here if you'd like to ask.
Representative Gunther, it's a good idea.
No.
You'd come down and...
Yeah, I know that.
You look kind of familiar to me, but you can just state your name for the tape and tell us who you represent and answer the question. That'd be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Ken Wolf. I'm with the Department of Commerce. But I would just answer the numerical question there. The reliability administrator is permitted to allocate up to $1 million a year to the utilities for its total function. So it depends on how much money is left over when you do the normal functions of the department. You have in this bill a... I believe you have a study to look at 20% of sales going through renewables.
Yes.
I would expect that that study to cost in the neighborhood of $500,000. So those are just the numbers you're talking with. I have no recommendation or position on the amendment.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wolf. Representative Simpson?
I can't give you any more information than what we've just received.
Any other questions on the A18 amendment, members? Okay, in hearing none, Representative Simpson renews his motion on the A18 amendment to be accepted. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Members, we're on the A19 amendment, and that's the last amendment. And is that your amendment, Representative Gunther?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, yes it is. This was given to me by Representative Eastland, and he represents the district that Hoppenscheid Farm is in. And what he wants done is to simply, on page 2 and line 30, to strike the date of July 1st, 2001. So this entity would be able to enjoy the renewable energy tax credit advantages that were available to it.
Thank you, Mr. Gunther. Are there any questions for the maker of the motion? Representative Hansen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Gunther, is this similar? I know that we had Representative Olson and the Hoppenscheid Farm was in here a few weeks ago. Is this, in that motion, there was a bill that was pulled or not heard. Is this a similar?
Yes, it is.
Representative Gunther. Further questions for the maker of the motion? Representative Gunther?
Well, Mr. Chair.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Chair Beard. Representative Hansen, I think that was on net metering, wasn't it? I wasn't present, but I know there are two bills that dealt with Hoppenscheid Farms. But Representative Gunther would know better. This probably is one of them. And I do support this, as Dennis is my former student, and he's done an excellent job with his manure digester. I just hope that we can...
Mr. Chairman...
Thank you, Representative Erickson. I'm glad that Representative Gunther's former teachers aren't here to speak about his.
Well, isn't that true?
Representative Gunther, that I'm reading... your former teachers aside, as I'm reading this, this merely deletes the date and allows them to be eligible, doesn't it?
This is a much more targeted approach than Representative Olson's bill, and I think it does the same thing. As far as my teachers are concerned, I bought the piano in kindergarten. I carved my initials behind so nobody can read.
Thank you, Representative Gunther. Does that get to the gist of the question, Representative Hansen? Representative Erickson? Okay. Further questions? Seeing none, Representative Gunther moves his A19 motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Which brings us back to the bill. As amended, I believe, because there are no more amendments at the chair.
The Delito as amended.
And it's being referred to Jobs and
Economic Development.
Representative Gunther's committee.
Community policy and plan.
Is there further discussion to the bill from the members of the committee? Anyone else needs to speak for or against the bill from the audience? Okay, hearing none, Representative Gunther, you want to renew your motion to pass to your committee?
Absolutely.
Thank you. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign?
No.
Let the motion does prevail. The bill is referred. And members, that's about it. I appreciate coming to the point. And let me just make this comment on behalf of the Regulate Industries Committee. Last Wednesday, we had sort of a false start. We convened a meeting and then recessed to talk about things. I don't think, as they say, there was peace in the valley. And so we,
for now,
I think recessed, but we just adjourned the meeting until today. The bill we have today, after we've actually had a chance to get our act together and actually have some understanding of what we're trying to do and how the bill could work,
I think, bears out that that unusual decision from last Wednesday actually was a profitable use of our time. Otherwise, we would have been here 6 or 7 hours trying to make something work on the fly, and I don't know if we'd have had anything nearly this good or with as much consensus. So thank you to those who worked behind the scenes. Thank you for your indulgence from last Wednesday. The next meeting will be Wednesday on telecom. Watch for your notice. The meeting is adjourned.